Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Spitballin' Podcast. That's right, a Texas Rangers podcast. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jamie Newberg, and we are getting ready for opening day. Excitement in Rangerland is through the roof. We're also excited about this brand new podcast. So with no further ado, let's get right to it. We got a couple things we want to talk about today. Let's just start with who we think are the most pivotal players for the Rangers this year. I've got two guys. You got two guys, Jamie. We don't know if they're the same. So I'm going to let you go first, and then let's see if we've picked the same guys. Who is the most pivotal player for the Texas Rangers this season?
To me, it's Delino DeShields. And you want me to go into an explanation right now, or are we going to just throw out names first?
No, I like it. Do the explanation.
Okay. I looked at the numbers last year because I remember Jeff Banister talking about how critical he was to the lineup as he emerged early in the season last year. And turns out the Rangers went 72-49 when DeShields played. They went 16-25 when he didn't. Okay, so clearly that's a tremendous, it's almost something that cannot be ignored when there's that big a difference when over a full season of a player's contributions. The reason to me that he's the most pivotal guy this year is, sophomores tend to slump, and the reason for that is when the league develops a book on a hitter, if he doesn't keep up with them by out-adjusting their adjustments, sometimes they tend to fall back a little bit after good rookie seasons. Whether DeShields falls back a little bit could be huge, because if he can maintain the kind of play he did last year, he obviously was a tremendous boost to the lineup when in there, and I think we all believe that there's another gear for this guy. He can improve defensively on his routes. His base stealing was very good last year, but I think people think he can be even more of a weapon, stealing third base. His bunt game has room to improve. He can do a little bit better job getting on base. This is a guy that could go in either direction from where he was last year. I think has just got a huge beta in terms of how he could impact the 2016 season.
Okay, that surprises me. I was not expecting him to be one of your two most pivotal guys because, I look at Delino and I think, all right, last year – yeah, the numbers are incredible, and I hadn't heard those numbers that you had there, but I remember Jared Sandler saying the Rangers averaged 2 runs more per game when he was in the lineup. That's unbelievable. But that said, I feel like he's a guy that's already getting squeezed a little bit, whether it's all the talk of a potential sophomore slump or whether it's Ian Desmond and all the talk of him being in center field. And if he goes to center, Delino goes to left, and now you've got this Josh Hamilton thing. And I know no one's counting on that being anything. But what if it is? What if Josh Hamilton comes back in a month and is ready and they platoon him or they pinch hit him or whatever and he has a small role? But what if it's just hard to keep him out of the lineup? Delino would then be in a little bit of jeopardy. And then on top of that, since Banny is so creative with the batting order, I can't help but think that we're going to see maybe Chu lead off and Rougned Odor hit second or vice versa against righties. And so I'm wondering already, I'm going in with lower expectations for Delino, and I don't like it because he's an exciting player and I like him, but I find myself mentally kind of phasing him out a little bit. But you've awakened me here.
Well, there's no doubt, as good as he was last year, that I'm with you that eventually I think he might be served on a really good team as a guy who can play all 3 outfield spots and second base and get in the lineup 4 or 5 days a week, playing different positions, giving different guys a rest. He may not be an everyday player. He certainly is on a mediocre to bad team, for probably 12 years. But we've seen there's some defensive deficiencies, and I agree that he's probably most suited to be a left fielder if you're going to put him in one of the 3 outfield spots on this team, at least until Lewis Brinson arrives, or if Ian Desmond, gives them something to think about in terms of where he belongs in the outfield, DeShields is going to be the team center fielder. But I do agree with you that it doesn't seem like a perfect fit defensively for him.
All right, he's Jamie Newberg. I'm Ben Rogers. This is the brand new Spitballin' Podcast, a Texas Rangers podcast. So that's your number one most pivotal Ranger for this season. Let me hear number two. Who else do you have?
Number two for me is Martin Perez. And I think it's sort of a similar discussion. You've got a guy who's very young with tremendous upside, but I think it's conceivable as he comes back from a year in which he was sort of getting back into rhythm after an injury. What if he is a 6-7 game winner? But on the other hand, could this be a guy that takes that next step forward and wins 16 or 18 in 2016? I think there's just a huge distribution of possibilities with him. Everybody agrees that he has the stuff. He's got the demeanor. The command sometimes isn't there, but when it is, he can be dominant. I think he's a guy that you could end this season thinking, all right, we've got Hamels, Darvish, and Martin Perez as 1-2-3 going into 2017. On the flip side, he could be a guy that could be competing for a spot by the end of the season if he's just not consistent. I would bet on the first that this is the year that he takes another step forward. Believed in this guy for many years, and now that he's gotten past the injury and fortunately was able to give the team a few months last year where he got reacclimated to the routine, I believe he takes a step forward this year, but I don't think it's a lock, and I think that at least as far as the rotation is concerned, I might consider him the most pivotal guy.
All right, if we're playing Battleship, that's a direct hit for me. I, too, had him as one of my two guys just because of the importance of a starting rotation. If you've got depth, with your starting pitching and you've got multiple guys who are throwing well, obviously we know what Cole's going to do. We think we know. It sounds like Yu Darvish is already just a machine, and he's not even back yet. So we feel like both those guys are going to be really good. And if you have another guy in Perez who you can count on, yeah, anything is possible if he is going to give you significant contributions and if he's ready to take that step forward. So I had him down. The guy I had as most pivotal that you didn't have is Derek Holland. And I have him in there for the same reason as Martin Perez, just because of, if you have that depth. But this is a guy who I don't know where the Rangers are in terms of their patience. And, he's been banged up the last couple of years, but I remember, you telling me about him years ago. That's the first time he showed up on my radar, and I've had high expectations for him ever since, but he's had some setbacks. And it feels like there's some tough love there with Holland this spring. Like, they wanted him to go out there and don't ease into it. We're putting you in highly competitive situations. You haven't been playing baseball. We want to see something. It gets out that, Evan Grant wrote the piece. Hey, they think Derek's overweight or something. Whatever was going on there, he's being pushed, and he has an $11 million option at the end of the season. And you would think that's a no-brainer to pick up, but maybe it's not. So he's at a crossroads moment. I mean, he could look like worth so much more than $11 million if he puts together the kind of year we know he's capable of having. Yet he could have the type of season that makes them not pick up that option. So I see him at a massive personal crossroads, and I believe in him, and he looks great. He's throwing the ball well. But depending on how he does, that would have a wide variance of what happens to the Texas Rangers this year.
I agree with that. I'm a believer in Derek Holland. And so maybe in my mind, this guy's going to win between 13 and 18 games, and I don't see there being that huge swing. I do agree it's a very big year for him in terms of him earning that option year instead of being non-tendered and put out on the free agent market. Look, this is the guy who threw the greatest big game in Texas Rangers history. The World Series win over the Cardinals that he threw is the most dominant. Obviously, if we're just talking about the World Series, Cliff Lee had some more dominant starts that preceded the World Series in 2010. But as far as being in that, in the Classic, the game Derek Holland threw, if that's something he can replicate once a month even, if that's the guy that we can get in 2016, I agree with you. It changes a lot. If if he's a guy that you pencil in at the front of a playoff rotation, not necessarily at the top, but, a guy that's going to get the ball each series when his term comes around. I agree. I might not have put him in my pivotal list just because I think he's, the floor for him this year, I still think is a solid number three. And he has a chance to be better than that. But I do agree with you that, it's going to be interesting to see how he responds to the pressure, which I think he may deny that there's this pressure, and most pro athletes would, but I think we all would understand that it's essentially a contract year for him. And whether that, gives him that extra edge to find that next gear, or if it becomes too much of a pressure point, we'll just have to see. But like I said, I'm a believer.
Yeah, man, me too. And I'm just so pulling for the guy. And if you Ranger fans ever had the opportunity to get to know him, he'd be an instant favorite for you. The guy just has the biggest heart in the world. He's like a little kid. He's like one of us who just happens to have a 95 mile an hour laser cannon disperser on his shoulder, that he could just fire the ball. But I'm really pulling for him, and I'm going to be more interested in his starts than just about any. Although you say that, and there's a reason to be interested in Perez, there's a reason to be interested in Cole, and obviously Yu Darvish. So it's going to be a fun season. So that said, Jamie, let's talk about overall expectations. You know what? You know, the Rangers won the AL West last year. Came down to the wire. They're much healthier, at least to start the season this time, than they've been in the recent past. They've got amazing depth. They've got youngsters on their way up that are going to be here soon. So, what should Rangers fan expectations be for this season?
I think the expectation has to be a playoff berth, and to me, that is a wild card at least. I feel like this team is poised to win the division. It won last year in spite of incredible injuries they had to overcome, particularly in the rotation. And I was just looking a few minutes ago that the rotation that the Rangers began the season with last year in this order was Giovanni Gallardo, Colby Lewis, Ross Detweiler, Nick Martinez as a, you know, making his debut, and then Derek Holland for an inning before the ball was handed to Anthony Renato, who had to make his next start once because Holland got hurt. You look at that starting five, and you compare it to now, where you've got Cole Hamels, you've got a healthy Derek Holland, you've got a healthy Martin Perez, you've got Colby at four, and right now you'll probably have A.J. Griffin at five until Darvish is ready in about 6 or 8 weeks. It's a dramatically different and stronger rotation. You look at the bullpen, two guys in common, Sean Tolleson and Keone Kella. Kella clearly is more reliable. You feel he's more reliable today than he was a year ago when he was making his debut. So take out those two who are in common. The other five that they started the season with last year were Neftali Feliz, Anthony Bass, Logan Verrett, and Roman Mendez, Phil Klein. This year, you replace those five with Sam Dyson, Jake Diekman, Tom Wilhelmsen, Tony Barnett, and Andrew Faulkner. Barnett and Faulkner, by the way, are the two on that list that may not seem as, you know, legitimate, reliable, established as the others. They both had ridiculously outstanding springs and won jobs without any question. You'll probably have a guy like Phil Klein in there for a few days until A.J. Griffin's start. But the pen is dramatically stronger than it was last year. In the lineup, it's basically the same. Differences are last year you had Leonis Martin in center and you started with Ryan Rua in left. Now you've got DeShields and Ian Desmond in those two spots. Whether that's a plus or minus, you know, I feel like that's a plus. But to me, this season, I won't say it hinges on this, but last year Texas went 13-6 against the Astros. That clearly was the difference in the division. They've got to continue to beat Houston. You know, if that flips around and Houston takes the series this year, winning 12 or 13 out of 19, they probably win the division. You got to win those head-to-head battles and, you know, take care of business otherwise, but I think they're just better positioned this year to win series, you know, consistently throughout the year than they were last year.
How excited are you to get this thing going?
Oh, man, fired up. Fired up.
Me too. Hey, excited to get another season of Texas Rangers baseball going. Also very excited about this new podcast. It's called Spitballin', a Texas Rangers podcast. He's Jamie Newberg. I'm Ben Rogers. If you enjoyed this one, this first installment, please look out for us in the future. We're going to be putting one out per week. Tell all your friends and share it on social media. We certainly appreciate it. Until next time, happy baseball, everybody.